This evening we will study together Luke chapter 19 from verse 1 to verse 10. I shall read verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse 6. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, the story of Zacchaeus has always been my favorite story. It is a story that tells us when one seeks the Lord God with one's heart and mind, one will surely find him. Let me read verse 1 to you. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. You see, my dearly beloved, Zacchaeus was not just the chief among the publicans. He's a man of status, but most of all, he was rich. It is without question that Zacchaeus had a lifestyle of sin. And obviously, being the chief among the publicans is not something that the public would usually favor, isn't it? He must have used many, many means to collect his money and become rich, isn't it? Well, keep in mind that Zacchaeus was rich. And of course, he would extort and resort anything to be rich. Likewise today, in the world where we lived in, there are many, many people that have used any means and every means to be rich, isn't it? They have lived a lifestyle of Zacchaeus. You see, the whole world operates on mammon. You see, everybody in this world is after mammon, isn't it? For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, no man can serve two masters. The whole world runs after mammon. But our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, what if a man owns the whole world and loses his own soul? What is your soul worth after all? You see, life on earth is not just the temporal. Much more importantly is the eternal. Simply because the temporal, let's assume you can live up to 200 years, which is not likely. But it's just like a drop of water, isn't it, when it compared to eternity? Now, eternal life is not 1,000 years. It is not 1,000,000 years. It is not 1,000,000,000,000 years, but it is forever. For that reason, if you calculate your temporal life compared to eternal life, it is almost, we can say, zero, isn't it? Mathematically speaking. Anything that is divided by infinity is zero, isn't it? Of course it is zero. Imagine if you live 200 years of absolute luxury and all the money in the whole world you can get, and thereafter when you die, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. Is it worth it? Let me ask you that question. Not at all. You see, you could be rich, but absolutely miserable. This is what happened to Zacchaeus. Now, let me tell you a real story of the 9 men in America. There are multi-millionaires. They're a very, very intelligent group of people and very successful financially and extremely, of course, intelligent. They all held the highest position of being the CEO or the leader of their companies and met each other in the same conference at one time. Yet at the end of their lives, most of them died of suicide, believe it or not, while others became mentally insane and so on. So despite their financial success and extreme intelligence, they all faced the tragic death at the end of their lives. It is crystal clear that they have learned the art of making a living for the temporal, and yet they fail to acquire the art of living in wisdom for eternal. It is undeniable that all of these 9 men were super intelligent and financially successful at one point of their life. Yet it is a pity to discover the element of their tragic death were all attributed to the lack of wisdom in acquiring the truth from God's words, isn't it? Now, my dearly beloved, these 9 multi-millionaires all died in suicide, if not mentally insane. If money is the solution to life, then let me ask you a question. Why would these 9 very, very intelligent CEOs of the company and very rich end up their life with a tragic death? Does this make sense to you? You see, the Word of God brings us back to the story of Genesis, when God created man and created Adam and Eve. You see, God created us in His image, and He blew His spirit into Adam before Adam was formed. You see, that's a big difference between mankind and animals. When God created us, He created us in His image. And that spirit that He blew in us is part of every single person that God created, you see. It is part of the whole humanity. However, ever since Adam and Eve chose to believe the voice of the power of darkness and disobey God and sin, they have suffered death. And as a result, today, each and every one of us suffered eternal damnations, eternal death. Apart from the physical death that you and I get to see, and of course we all have to die, isn't it? Now the question is this. When God blew into us His spirit, the very moment Adam and Eve disobey and falter into the law of sin, that spirit got disconnected and removed from our hearts, you see. And deep in our heart, there is that vacuum or vacancy that only God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, can fill them. For that reason, you can be searching material wealth, and you can be laboring, and you can be in all over the place trying to get name and fame and, of course, the pleasures of this world. None of that can fill you, I can guarantee that. You see, the story of these 9 rich men tells you that they are never satisfied with money alone. And money alone can never satisfy you, simply because when God created us, He created us in His image and blew into us His spirit. For that reason, Christ Jesus came down to die on the cross. And it is on the cross that all the sin debt in full are paid for and restored to us that spirit. Call the Holy Spirit to indwell each and every one of us who genuinely believe in Him. And when the Spirit comes through in our heart, we will be absolutely satisfied. Now, my dearly beloved, it says right here that Zacchaeus was like one of these millionaires. He was the chief among the publicans. He held very high positions in life, very famous, very likely, and of course, very rich. He's got all of that money, but he knew in his heart that there's a vacancy. There is something missing in his life, isn't it? For that reason, it says right here in verse 3, let us read on. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. My dearly beloved, Zacchaeus realized in his life something was missing, and as a result, he would like to seek for the meaning of life and decided he would like to see whether Jesus is the one that he should be looking for to fill the vacancy of his life, isn't it? And so he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And there are many, many people today, even though they could be rich, even though they could be famous, but deep in their hearts, I can guarantee you, it is still empty. You see, and you can try to fill it with all kind of things, like I mentioned earlier, I can guarantee it, nothing will fill it until the very day you meet our Lord face to face. And so Zacchaeus was this person that sought to see Jesus. And what was precious about Zacchaeus was he genuinely would like to see Jesus. But the problem is this, he was of little stature. Now he got a problem because he was so small and he could not see Jesus because of the press, because of the numbers of people that surround Jesus. And so he decided, verse 4 says, to run before and climb up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. My dearly beloved, Zacchaeus became desperately seeking Jesus. Are you like him? He ran and climbed up the sycamore tree, for he had forgotten and forsaken his title of being the chief, you see. He had forgotten that he was rich. It no longer mattered to him. What mattered most is he's got to see our Lord Jesus at all cost, even if it means others ridiculing him, being a person that climbed up the tree. Oh, how shameful. He does not care anymore, my dearly beloved. You see, his heart is to seek for Jesus at all cost, by all means. So he climbed up into the sycamore tree, hoping to see Jesus going through that way. My dearly beloved, the Lord God himself is a God of absolute mercy and kindness to his children. When we seek him with an attitude of Zacchaeus, we are bound to find Jesus, you see. Not only he seeks Jesus, but most of all, Jesus seeks him. And verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Hallelujah, what a joy. It is not Zacchaeus that looked for Jesus, you see, my dearly beloved. It is Jesus that looked up for Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, for sure, I must abide at thy house. What a joy. And praise God, because our Lord God is a God of absolute mercy and compassion. He realized that Zacchaeus was desperately needing Jesus. He realized that Zacchaeus is living in a lifestyle of sin. How many of us today, my dearly beloved, are like Zacchaeus? Are you one of them? Are you currently living in a lifestyle full of sins and problems? May I invite you to come to believe in Jesus? You see, Jesus is about to pass through your way. And Jesus used my voice to speak to your heart, my dearly beloved. And today, I would like to invite you to allow our Lord and Master to come through to your heart. If you simply have a genuine heart like Zacchaeus, you see, that's all it takes. And verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You see, Zacchaeus could not wait to receive Jesus today. I pray that you would have the attitude like Zacchaeus. You see, I pray that you will open your heart and realize that life without Jesus is impossible. Life without Jesus, there is no peace and joy. You see, the Word of God tells us he's the Prince of Peace. His name is Wonderful, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the book of Isaiah tells us. Without Jesus, you're not going to have any peace in your heart, my dearly beloved. Without Jesus, you would not be able to experience joy, to experience love, simply because our Lord God gives us the fruit of the Holy Spirit when we come to believe in Jesus. He would indwell in our heart, and it is through our body that we would be able to experience the Holy Spirit bearing the nine fruits in our heart. Do you have love? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you have long sufferings? Do you have gentleness? Do you have goodness? Do you have faith? Do you have meekness and temperance? You see, these are the nine characteristics of the Holy Spirit, and they are the nine characteristics of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Himself. For that reason, God will impart these characteristics the moment you accept Him into your life. You will experience that divine peace, isn't it? Now, verse 7 says, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." My dearly beloved, a lot of people, perhaps in churches, misunderstood you. Perhaps you were poor. Perhaps you have lived a lifestyle with sins, many, many sins in your life. But that is fine, because you know why? Our Lord Jesus can wash away each and every one of our sins as long as you permit Him and open your heart to Him. You know, our Lord God would never despise you. For that reason, our Lord God tells us in verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He was not interested to save those who claimed themselves to be righteous like the Pharisees, you see. Jesus Christ never came to save the Pharisees, because the Pharisees are filled with pride. And if you have pride in your heart, you have self-righteousness, you think you're pretty good. You've been in the church for many, many years. You've been baptized. And of course, you could be a pastor, a preacher, and so on. But nonetheless, if you act like a Pharisee, Jesus Christ cannot come and save a Pharisee, simply because a Pharisee does not have a heart of humility. They have a heart of pride. However, Zacchaeus has a heart of absolute humility. You see, the Word of God tells us, until unless we humble like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter who you are, what your positions are. You could be a preacher, you could be a pastor. Those external clothings are not important. Those external identity are not important. What is important is what is within our heart, you see. God is interested what is deep, deep down in your heart. God is not interested in religion. God is not interested in your cover-up. Are you trying to cover Almighty God, thinking that He does not see what is within our heart? Oh, that is absolute foolishness, my dearly beloved. For the Lord God is a God who sees through everything, and everything is naked before His eyesight, you see. For that reason, I would advise you and encourage you to repent of your sins and cry to Him like Zacchaeus does. And if you act like Zacchaeus, I can guarantee you, you will receive joy and peace in your heart. Now, there are many, many people out there that ridicule, just like here it says, they ridicule Zacchaeus and even our Lord for accepting Zacchaeus and coming into His house. Zacchaeus is but a sinner. My dearly beloved, such an attitude is called an attitude of hypocrisy. You see, the Pharisees are filled with hypocrisies. They think they are very religious. They think they know the Bible, but in actual fact, they are but a Pharisee. And a Pharisee that is filled with hypocrisy is absolute tragedy, isn't it? Because they cannot be saved in that conditions. They need to first repent. Are you one of the Pharisees? May I petition before you to repent of that pride that you have, the spiritual pride of having a lot of head knowledge in your heart and your mind. You think you know a lot of things. In actual fact, my dearly beloved, you cannot enter the kingdom of God with a carnal intelligence, even though you may have a lot of head knowledge in your mind about the Bible. That is not acceptable in the sight of God. You must repent of those sins of your own intelligence, of your own head knowledge, because head knowledge has got nothing to do with Jesus, my dearly beloved. All it takes is an absolute heart of humility, like a little child. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." My dearly beloved, Zacchaeus now has become a new person in Christ Jesus. You see, all things are all passed away. He genuinely repented and looked down upon Mammon and decided to give all as much as he can, fourfold if need be, and restore what was done wrong to somebody else, isn't it? That's the new Zacchaeus. The old Zacchaeus is the one that grabs and covered and used any means and every means to collect that debt and money. However, the new Zacchaeus is different. The new Zacchaeus decided to return out of joy, out of charity, and out of love to others so that in the name of Jesus, he can glorify our Heavenly Father. Now, my dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul tells us when we come to Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. We become a new creature, a new creation, a new person in Christ Jesus. It's just like the new Zacchaeus. Money is no longer of any importance anymore, but rather Christ is the most important, you see, in his life. Zacchaeus now stood as a new person. It says right here, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Zacchaeus is now a new person in Christ Jesus. He no longer served Mammon. He now turned around and served Jesus Christ. Now, my dearly beloved, let me ask you a real honest question. Do you serve Christ Jesus today, or do you serve Mammon? You see, the Lord God sees into our heart. You could be a born-again Christian. You could be a pastor. You could be an elder. It doesn't make a difference. Be very honest with me. Are you serving Mammon, or are you serving Jesus? Is your life surrounded by Mammon and Mammon-centered, or is your life surrounded by Christ's love and you are Christ-centered? Which one is it? You see, only you know, and of course, only the Lord God knows what is within your heart, and perhaps others surrounding you also know that. You see, the Word of God tells us that we must always be the salt and the light in this world and glorify our Heavenly Father. If your lifestyle in the past is like Zacchaeus, full of sins, and you've yet to know Jesus, may I petition and invite you to come to know Jesus, because only Jesus can fill your heart with absolute joy and peace and contentment. No material things, no money, no religion can fill your heart, you see. You could be in churches for years and practice religion. You see, until unless you're born again of the Spirit of God and absolutely walk in obedience by faith in Christ Jesus, you're just practicing religion. And religion is not going to save you. Religion is the things of Satan. You see, Satan would use his lies and cover your eyes and say, you know what, just go to church, be baptized, have your communion, and be saved. My dearly beloved, that is an absolute lie of Satan. Christ Jesus is not a religion. Christ Jesus is a relationship with the presence of the Holy Spirit that would indwell in our heart. And he takes that Holy Spirit and our obedience on our part to transform us to the image of Jesus Christ someday. You see, it is not religion that can save you, but Jesus Christ is the only person that can save you. Do you see the difference? Religion is like having the car with no keys to it. What's the use of having the car with no key? Can you drive a car with no key? Not at all. Will it bring you to a destination? Not at all. But once you have the key, that car can drive you to a destination, isn't it? Now, the Holy Spirit is that key I'm talking about. The key to the car. Once you have that key, once you have that Holy Spirit will give you the faith, will give you the courage, will give you the wisdom, will give you the love, and so on. And he will begin to transform your mind with truth instead of lies, and set you free of all the sins that you've committed in the past. And you become a new person in Christ Jesus. You will live a victorious life and be a servant to our Lord Jesus Christ and glorifies him instead of living in sin and be subjugated and enslaved by the power of darkness. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. My dearly beloved, Jesus Christ is not interested how much good things you have done, how righteous you are. He's not interested in those things simply because the Word of God tells us we have fallen short, miles fallen short of the glory of God. My dearly beloved, our righteousness is like rags, a dirty rags when you compare to the law of God. There is no comparison. We can never make it up our own flesh. Simply because Romans 7 tells us, the Apostle Paul says, that there is nothing good in our flesh. Do not try to use your own strength, your own flesh, to perform the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit to look like Jesus. It is impossible. You see, the Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, already discovered that. That there is nothing good in our flesh. In fact, the carnal mind that we have today, it is under the law of sin. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8, the carnal mind is enmity with God, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, so that those that are in the flesh can never please God. You see, my dearly beloved, our flesh is but terrible. Our flesh can only sin. That is our nature. Ever since Adam and Eve have fallen into the hands of Satan, into the law of sin, we all can only perform but sin. Perhaps you say, well, I've done some good works, but what is the use of that good works when you compare to the amount of sins that you have committed? You see, my dearly beloved, who is going to wash away your sins? It takes the blood of Jesus at the cross. The blood of Jesus is so holy that it's able to wash away each and every one of our sins. What is the use if we have done 10 goods and we have got thousands of sins? Even though we go to church, who is going to wash away your sins? You see, for that reason, religion is useless. It is worthless simply because who is going to wash away your sin? Plus, we all know what is good, yet we're not able to do it. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7, the things that I'm supposed to be doing, I end up not doing it. And the things that I'm not supposed to be doing, I end up doing it. So what is it that is in me? And the Apostle Paul says, it is the law of sins. Yes, I'm willing to do it, yet I don't have the strength to do it. My dearly beloved, are you experiencing what I've just said? As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, that's exactly what we are in the flesh conditions. However, the Word of God tells us, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus merely ask us to open our heart and like a little child, humble like a little child, simple like a little child, without craftiness, without guile, trusting in the cross. You see, salvation is given to all mankind simply because God loves us. You see, the Word of God tells us, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that you who believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in him? You see, our Lord God merely asks us to just have simple faith, trusting in him, trusting in the Holy Spirit that will transform us and transport us into eternity. Simple faith and confess our sins before him. You see, Christ Jesus loved us so much. The Word of God tells us, since he loved us to the very end. And he came to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Do you feel that your life is worthless? My dearly beloved, I want to share with you one precious story. A story of a missionary to China called Dr. Pauline Hamilton. Dr. Pauline Hamilton is an absolute transformed person, just like Zacchaeus was transformed. Before, in the past, she had a life of absolute misery. She was going to be a doctor at that point of time when she discovered that she had tuberculosis. Now, years ago, TB has no cure. And so, as a result, when she was informed by the doctor that she has tuberculosis, and of course she was supposed to die, her boyfriend dumped her. And the school wrote a letter to tell her to quit. And her life was absolutely miserable. Now, my dearly beloved, so she decided to kill herself. She took some pills, sleeping pills. It wouldn't work. And as a result, more miseries And as she contemplated in her mind to take her sister's car, without her permission, of course, and drive that car over the cliff in order to kill herself, the Lord God knew of her attempt and interfered with her suicide. Now I shall read an excerpt for you on her story. And I want you to listen very carefully, as this excerpt is very, very precious. Here she was about to attempt a suicide. And let me begin reading this excerpt for you. "And now suddenly the opportunity had come to end my anguish. As I was tearing up the road with the accelerator pushed to the floor, familiar landmarks flashing by me, a kind of mad acceleration possessed me. I had neither the time nor the inclination to reassess things now. I just wanted to reach my destination, numbing my sense of feeling. I didn't let myself think of my mother as she had looked, calling after me in her fear, or that she had called me Han, the family's name of endearment for me. I was almost at the open mine, just 2 more turns to make. Suddenly there was a terrific bang and the car careened out of control, nearly flipping over on that narrow gravel road. Somehow, reining the shiny convertible to a stop, I got out, saw the skid marks, and then spotted the blown-out tire on the left front wheel. As I stared at the ragged hole in that tire, I didn't hear any heavenly voices, but I knew that God had done this. Right there on that skid-marked mountain road, the Spirit of God brought back to my mind things I must have learned many years before in Sunday school. The first words that came to me were, 'He cares.' And then, in a marvelous way, He continued to show me how much He loved me. I knew the verse He was using, John 3:16. I had learned it as a child, but this time it had my name in it. God so loved Pauline Hamilton that if Pauline Hamilton believes in me, she shall not perish but have everlasting life. I began to reason. Obviously, God cared enough to stop me on that road, stop me from taking my own life. But why? I had turned my back on Him many years before and refused to give Him any place in my life and my plans. What reason could He have to care about me? But He did, and the realizations of that love broke me. I crouched down on the road with all the necessary tools beside me to attempt changing the tire. But instead, I found myself weeping before the Lord, He speaking to me and I to Him. I didn't know much about prayer then. My praying up to that time had been little more than, 'Now I lay me down to sleep. Oh Lord, give me this or that.' Today, it was different. Though neither formal nor beautiful, my prayer came from the heart. It ran something like this: 'God, You win. I've made an awful mess of things. Lord, if You can do anything with this mess, here I am. You take over.' Something happened there on that hot, dusty road that I can't explain scientifically, but it changed my life completely. I wasn't even sure the words that came to my heart were from the Bible, yet I felt they had to be. 'Be strong and of good courage,' God said to me. 'Be not afraid, for I am with you.' How I needed those words, and what comfort they brought to my heart." Now, my dearly beloved, this precious excerpt from Dr. Pauline Hamilton tells you how much the Lord God loves Dr. Pauline Hamilton. And ever since then, Dr. Pauline Hamilton not only was deciphered from killing herself, she was saved and became a born-again child of a living God. And obviously, later on, the Lord healed her of her tuberculosis. She has many, many tribulations that the Lord has walked her over in her life victoriously. And what is precious about Dr. Pauline Hamilton, she was a changed person. She was transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ to be the most powerful missionary with absolute love for Jesus. And she was sent as a missionary to China and later on to Taiwan to look after and teach the delinquent boys the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, my dearly beloved, I don't know where you are in your life. Perhaps you've gone through just as much as difficult as Dr. Pauline Hamilton. And of course, worse, perhaps. But those things are not impossible with God, you see. Our Lord Jesus tells us not to be afraid. In Mark 5:36, he said, "Be not afraid, only believe. If you believe, all things are possible to those who believe." You see, all our Lord Jesus Christ asks us is to believe and not be afraid. Now, I want to share with you one last precious testimony where our Lord Jesus Christ has transformed Dr. Shi. You see, like Zacchaeus, there are many, many saints out there that have experienced the powerful voice and the transformation of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, in each and every one of their lives and my life as well. And I'm here to testify for you one more precious testimony. This testimony originates from Dr. Shi. Dr. Shi is a very successful doctor in Los Angeles. He was so successful that at the age of mid-30s, he was already a medical doctor and hold a PhD. And of course, multimillionaire and has many, many patients and a big, beautiful homes and 3 children and a wife. However, as he began to be successful in the world, he began to drift away from our Lord Jesus Christ. As he went into the world, God, out of his love, brought him back through his terminal liver cancer. My dearly beloved, many times in life, that's exactly what our Heavenly Father did. He allows difficulties to come through in each and every one of our life simply because he loves us too much, you see. He wants us back into his arms. So in this scenario, Dr. Shi had a liver cancer and it was a terminal liver cancer. And being a doctor, he was very much aware what liver cancer can do. So his liver cancer was being tested by 14 labs in Los Angeles area. And they all reply telling him that it is malignant. Being a doctor, he was aware that his life at most is 3 years. And of course, many times is a lot shorter than that. In actual fact, Dr. Shi did mention his patient having the liver cancer, much smaller than his, died in approximately 3 months. Now at this point of time, Dr. Shi has gone everywhere, all over the world, to try to fill what was empty in his heart. You see, he's gone to Europe to tour, he's gone everywhere and enjoy life to the max, but nothing could fill his heart. Of course, he was very successful financially, because he's got a lot of money, but again, like Zacchaeus, nothing can fill his heart. At this point of time, when death was coming through in his life, he had only one choice. See, Dr. Shi was originally from Hong Kong. And he remembered his old preacher in Hong Kong. So he decided to call the preacher, hoping to get a solution or at least the word of comfort of some sort of a miracle from the mouth of the preacher. So he called the preacher and he was encountered by the words of truth from the lips of the preacher. And the preacher told him, "Look, you don't have a whole lot of time left to live in your life. And you've gone astray and love our Lord Jesus Christ. My advice for you is to repent and cry out to God for mercy, because you don't have much time left on the earth. And also, you need to repent and confess your sins to your wife, simply because you're going to leave your wife with 3 children to look after. And of course, with your 3 children, you also need to bring them to Christ, simply because you feed them just the material things and not the things of the Spirit. And you need to bring the whole family to Christ Jesus, in other words. So that night, Dr. Shi, out of desperation, cried out to God with all his heart, his mind and soul and strength, obviously. You see, my dearly beloved, God many times in our life had to push us to the point of absolute desperation with no way out, isn't it? That's exactly what happened to Dr. Shi here. So Dr. Shi began to cry aloud to God that night. Oh God, I don't know where you are. I felt you were so far away from me, and forgive me for going astray from you. So Dr. Shi cried with all his heart and confessed and repent of his sins. My dearly beloved, the God that we worship hears the voice of his children crystal clear, especially when we cry out with all our heart. Just like Zacchaeus is seeking with all his heart Jesus, and Zacchaeus get to meet Jesus, and likewise, Dr. Shi began to experience something. When he cried out to God with all of his heart, with all of his might, that night when he was on his knees, all of a sudden, the divine peace entered his heart and filled the void that was in his heart. And for years he was seeking for material things, for the worldly pleasures, for name and fame to try to fill it. But nothing could fill it. However, that night, his heart was absolutely satisfied and filled with it. You see, the void in our heart can only be filled by the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Shi testified, and he said, that night, that divine peace fills my heart, and it was absolutely full. So he knew he was born again of the Spirit of God that night when he cried to God. Then he woke up his wife, bringing his wife to repentance and accepting Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, as well as the 3 children. So that night, the whole family was saved. So my dearly beloved, Dr. Shi had only one way out. He decided to serve Jesus if Jesus gave him more time to live instead of being taken from the earth, from his family, of course, instead of death. At that point of time, he was going through the surgery, and prior to the surgery, they all already knew that his cancer has spread from the liver to all parts of the body, including the stomach area, you see. And the CAT scan already reflect and show all of that, scientific proof. So prior to the very fact that he was wheeled into the surgery room, his youngest daughter, approximately about 10 years old, told his daddy. She reassured her father by saying, "Dad, don't you ever worry about the surgery. Because right now, we are no longer 5 persons, but 6 persons. You see, we are no longer 5 persons simply because Jesus is with us. Right now, we are 6 persons. My dearly beloved, this little child had so much faith in the Lord Jesus and reassured her dad, said, "Dad, don't you ever worry. The Lord will heal you. Don't worry." You see, my dearly beloved, many times we need to have a faith like a little child. That's exactly what our Lord says, until unless we humble ourselves like a little child and believe in our Lord God like a little child, we can never enter the kingdom of heaven nor receive his blessings, isn't it? So finally, Dr. Shi entered the hospital, entered the surgery room, and as the surgeon operated on him, trying to remove the liver cancer, all of a sudden, the surgeon did surgery on the stomach and cut open the stomach to realize that the cancer was not in the stomach. So the surgeon thought to himself, perhaps this could be a wrong patient. Because according to the CAT scan, the cancer is already spread in the stomach and all parts of the body. But in here, they cannot find the cancer in the stomach. So they decided to open the liver, and here it was, the lung is still there, and the liver. However, as they work around and pull out some of that lump, the lump was tested. Instead of malignant, it became benign. And the surgeon commented, saying that somebody has changed and transformed this particular tumor because it was originally malignant. How could this happen? Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus tells us, if you believe, all things are possible to those who believe, isn't it? Indeed, our Lord has healed Dr. Shi miraculously. This is a story of a miracle. And this is a real story out of the city of Los Angeles. Now, my dearly beloved, there are many, many more stories and precious stories of Zacchaeus, isn't it? Personally, in my life, I was also like Zacchaeus. In the past, I have lived a life of sin and sinfulness. In the very moment the Lord God has given me the truth, I knelt on that bed to repent of my sins. And as I weep over my sins and confess each and every one of my sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus, the Lord God began to transform my life. And the Holy Spirit that indwelt my heart began to totally transform me. I used to hate reading the Bible, but once I became a born-again child of a living God, I began to love reading the Bible. I began to love witnessing to others about Jesus. My heart is totally filled with burning zeal to share about Jesus to many, many others who have yet to be saved. Now, my dearly beloved, I shall read one precious hymns to you, and I would like you to pay close attention to these precious hymns and of course the precious words that is inscribed in it. The precious hymns writes, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
My dearly beloved, I pray that you would come to find Jesus, just like Zacchaeus found Jesus. I pray that you would turn your heart to him, because just like the hymn says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you to remember the story of Zacchaeus. May you always love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind. And may you find absolute joy and rest in Christ Jesus, our Savior. For those who have yet to find Jesus, may I petition before you to accept Jesus as Zacchaeus did in the simplicity of his heart towards Jesus. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.